You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100, and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the don't nearly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
And we're on. And we've got Pamela Monroe. I just want to say thanks for coming on. For anybody that doesn't know Pamela's story, Pamela lost her daughter 2 years ago to an evil man, and I just think I just really appreciate you coming on, because I know you've never done a story or really spoke to anybody, but I think people actually need to hear what you've went through, and even people trolling you through the internet. Is that right?
It's been a nightmare.
A lot of posts.
There's a lot of abuse, more so now. At the beginning, you get a lot of trolls, but you get a lot of abuse from actual people now. They kind of text, like, mails you on Facebook, and I just think they think you don't have feelings and things don't matter.
Mm-hmm. But obviously, going through something like that is fucking heartbreaking. But is it fake profiles?
You get some fake profiles, and you can tell the difference because, like, there's nothing on them. But then there is ones that are for people that just think they can say what they like, and we're not going to read it. But then if I see it, I do comment and say, like, you don't know me, so how dare you stand there and speak about me? But they never answer.
Is it people you know?
No.
This is what people do. It's all, you get the keyboard warriors, and this is, and I've got comedian pals who are always getting trolled, and you kind of get that, but for somebody who's been through what you've been through, and to get that, that's low lives, man. That's fucking scum of the earth.
Because
mm-hmm. I know it's Paige's 2 year anniversary this year, this week.
It was a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The police warned us, they told us, they said you'll get trolled for years, and every time you do something, people have something to say about it, so just be prepared. So we did have that knowledge that it would happen, so I kind of tried to mentally prepare myself, but sometimes it's hard to just ignore.
It is hard, because I says in the podcast last week, I've got a lot of positives, but as soon as I get that one negative, I'm right on that page, man. I want to fucking speak to them, man, because I know they're shitebags. In my opinion, it's just somebody sitting in a house with a big nap, eating a big packet of Doritos, just looking for somebody to hate, do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I just can't believe, for your circumstances, that people can do that, man. I think it's fucking, it's really low, man.
That's bad, especially like this week. Like, people should kind of maybe think and realise. Well, it was last week, there was a big thing and a lot was getting said, and I was like, well, what are you going to say next week? Because the papers will print that it's Paige's anniversary, and are you going to get his abuse then? I don't think they realise as well. I've got a 12-year-old wee boy that reads it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can go onto the internet and see these stories, and he'll say, why are these people saying these things about you, Mum?
Because it was heartbreaking for them, because you've got another 4 kids, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
How's the papers been? The press and...
A nightmare as well. They don't leave you alone, like... They chap your door, and my kids answer the door, and they'll say, Mum, they can tell the difference if it's somebody just wanting me or if it's a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
So my wee boy's getting to the stage, he's kind of like, no, my mum's not in, go away. And he shouldn't, the 12-year-old, have to do that. He should just be able to answer his door.
I know, but that's the press for you. They don't sell stories unless it's negative and take things out of context and twist it. That's where they sell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I know.
I know it's anything you feel uncomfortable, man, just say, but...
No, I'm all right.
The first time, for anybody that knows the story, the first time that you'd heard than that, when Paige, where were you?
When I heard
that
it was... So, when Paige disappeared, I didn't know, obviously, that she was missing. Like, I had took my wee girl to dancing as usual, and Paige goes to her work, and, like, she would message me, but she stayed with a friend the night before, and I just assumed when she had the message that she didn't have her charger, and I thought, I'll hear for her after work, but it was her wee boyfriend that phoned her work and said, this Paige there, I've no heard for her, and they said she never made her work, like. So that's when, as soon as I knew that she wasn't in her work, I knew something was up because she doesn't let anybody down.
Mm-hmm.
When a body was found, I was in my house with the police. The police were going to, when a person goes missing, they're missing for so long, and then they do this big meeting with inspectors and things, and then they search your house. So they were in mines taking statements for me and my husband. I was upstairs and my husband was down the stairs, but then they just stopped the interview. Like the statements, and they wouldn't tell us why. They kind of didn't know why. They just had a message or the radio and went outside to hear it. Then my phone went and it was my sister-in-law to say a body had been found. Then the police said it was maybe a 20-year-old girl, and I was like, can it be Paige? Because she's tiny, she doesn't look 20. You couldn't mistake her for a 20-year-old, but I knew on the Saturday night that something had happened to her because she hadn't contacted me. But then when you hear on the Monday that body's been found, like, and it's like 5 minutes over the back for us, I was like, it's got to be her. But they wouldn't tell us. We weren't allowed to identify her the next day, and there was a few people missing. One was a blonde and two brunettes. Paige had brown hair at that time. So I says, it's not the blonde girl because you wouldn't be at my door. I said, so when it, if the other person shows up with the brown hair, then it's Paige. But they try and get you to think positive and things, but as a parent, it's your worst nightmare, so you always go through everything. And I think it was about 10:30 that night, the other wee girl showed up, and mm-hmm. I was like, I know, it's definitely her, but...
Gut feeling?
Uh-huh. As I say, I knew on the Saturday night, I kept saying to everybody, something's up with her, something's happened, you're going to need to prepare yourself, and they're like, no, she'll show up, but she's just totally out of character, totally.
So see... Where the shop, that guy worked in that shop, where did you know him?
I didn't know his name. I actually didn't even know he stayed in Whitecrook, let alone across the road where the deli was. I used to go in quite a lot, not every day, but I'd put my wee girl into nursery and I'd go in and get my roll in the morning.
Because I know you've put, would you ever face him?
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
Uh-huh.
But shite bags like that. No.
I've wrote to him. I don't know how to get him to write. He's not going to write back to me. He's not going to accept a visit. I've made it clear for day one. I'd visit him and face him. And everybody says it won't achieve anything, but it'll help me.
Is that trying to get some closure?
I think so. It's hard to explain. Like, I wouldn't have thought that's how I'd have dealt with things, but I just think I'd love to look him in the eye and say why. Like, mm-hmm. don't. He obviously gave an excuse that Paige blackmailed him and a lot of rubbish. She didn't have that. Everybody that knew Paige knew she had a job anyway, but like she just didn't have any malice in her at all. She wouldn't do it. But I'd like to hear. I think that he's tried something with her.
Mm-hmm.
Paige, like, she's got morals. She mm-hmm. would have been disgusted, and I think it's led for that. And she just not got back out the shop.
I know it's how's the police and that been with you? How have they treated you?
Amazing. Good. Amazing. Like, at first I was really, really worried, but like letting police into my house and things, I'm like, oh God, they're going to be horrible, and they're going to, especially before he get arrested, I was like, they're going to start wanting to question us, but never once.
No, that's good.
The early liaison officers were amazing. Like, Maureen and Shona, they were brilliant. They didn't sleep. They were there all the time.
24/7. Mm-hmm. Aye, good man. It's just because I know he's had his sentence reduced as well.
Uh-huh.
Obviously you're going to be fucking pissed off about that, because there's people out there who do less.
I know.
They get more than, was it 27 to 23 years?
He got 30 years, because he pleaded guilty, they took 3 years off, so it took it to 27. Then he appealed it and they'd cost the full sentence and done it again, and he ended up with 23 years, so he's done two.
And it's not that, for him to appeal that, it fucking digs it all back up for you to mm-hmm. go through papers, to go through the news.
Well, his appeal was 2 days before Christmas, our first Christmas without Paige.
Aye.
So, and then they left us, they never gave an answer in court that day. They said they had to go away and think about it, and it was things they were comparing Paige's murder to was she's a wee girl. They weren't taking into consideration she was a wee girl and what she endured. It was every murder's horrific, like no matter what.
100%.
But at the end of the day, she was a wee girl, and the papers will say she was stabbed like 126 times or something like that, but she was stabbed a lot more, and she was stabbed in more than just a knife. There was a couple of weapons.
Fucking hell.
But because he pleaded guilty, it wasn't read out in court, so...
Do you think that's why he pleaded guilty, so it wasn't to hide many of that evidence? Why is that not being read out? But that should be...
You get things took off your charges and things when you plead guilty. I didn't know that, but I wasn't happy about it, but I genuinely believed that it wouldn't have mattered. I genuinely thought it's not going to make a difference, but they're going to make an example of him. And Lady Ray, the judge, the first judge, she tried to give him the maximum that she could give him. Like,
what is that, 35?
No, I don't think you even get that here. Like, in England, you can get a whole, like, he would have had a whole life order in England, like, but here, they don't really get that out.
Mm-hmm. We've been speaking a lot of weeks because... Pamela's running a charity, Paige's Ball charity event in the Hilton. When I speak to you, man, I see amazing strength, and I know we're talking. People look at you because people forget, man, you've got another four kids,
mm-hmm.
so you need to be strong. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I know it's hard, and people point fingers, but and try and everybody wants to see people doing and fucking negative, but you've got a lot of strength, man, even coming on here, and I see a lot of strength in you, and you can be a voice for people who go through the same stuff. I'm 34. I've been to 33 funerals. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And only four of them have been through natural causes. The rest have been through murder, suicide, overdose, cancer. Do you know what I mean? And it's easy for me, I had the drink and the drugs for years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? To hide it all and to bottle it all up. Because I didn't want to face reality. So when you admit it for yourself, man, I think you can be the voice for people who's going through these circumstances too, because you can go suicidal. You can,
oh, definitely.
What about, did you ever drink? Or?
No, uh-huh. No. I've got a great support. My family have been amazing. When Paige died, they were there night and day. They text me all the time, like, when they can't be there. And even now, 2 years down the line, they're still there by my side. And, like... I'm lucky. Not everybody's got that support. And when we decided to set Paige's Promise up, I was like, there's people out there that don't have this. There's people that could actually go and hurt themselves or, like you say, hit the drink or drugs or whatever. And it's no fair. It's people shouldn't have to go through that. So we obviously do things like retreats and stuff like that to try and get families away, to take their minds off it, to make them see that they can meet other people that's going through the same circumstances. Because it's not just for murder. Paige's Promise is for any sudden death.
Mm-hmm. Does the papers ever print any about that?
No. No, there may be a paragraph. The Clydebank Post, they were great, actually. They printed what we'd say, what we gave permission for. So like, when we set up the self-defence classes, they said, can they write about it? And we'd say, yeah, that's fine, because it lets people know that they can take their kids to these classes and get the benefit of it. But... they never printed anything at the beginning. I suppose they would print about obviously what happened and things, but then after Paige was buried and things, they kind of came and they said, we don't want to go against you, and they knew we would never give a story, and they never asked us for one, but they did kind of do a lot on Paige's Promise, but that's the only kind of paper that did.
Would you ever, so when the newspapers now obviously came to your door, they take things out of context, do you know what I mean, and they twist things, and that's why I'm glad you came on to see, show people that what you went through is, you couldn't wish that upon your worst enemy, man. And
no.
Like I say, I see, to do all that positive stuff and you're 2 year in, do you know what I mean? It's still fresh, and you will get people saying, oh, time's a healer and everything will be fine. But realistically, man,
no.
It fucks with your mindset. And
time's definitely not a healer. You adapt your life to live without that person.
You accept
but it's not a healer. She's never going to come back. She's never going to be here. And we need to live with that every day. But I try and be positive and like say to my kids, like, oh, she's all around you and just everything. Like, well, if there's a white feather, I'll say, oh, that's your sister. Or a rainbow appears, we'll say, there's your sister. And they've learned to accept, like, these wee signs come for their big sister. So, like, even my wee boy was 3 months and So he didn't really know Paige, but he'll point Paige out in pictures. He can say her name and say, that's my big sister. She's in heaven. She's an angel. So, like, we've kept her alive in our house. She's not a taboo subject.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best thing to do, because they're a piece of you, man, which is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of blanket out and forget, but I think that would just create, when you suppress all your feelings and emotions, I think that would just create mm-hmm. an explosion eventually. At the end, you'd end up having a meltdown. Do you know what I mean? And it's good that you've never went on the drink or went off the route, because you have got an R4 kids, and now you're doing all your charity work and you're helping other of these people to talk and open up. Man, I think I've got nothing but respect for you, man. I think it's good that you've come on here today, man. And I really appreciate it. To tell your story, man, I think it's mm-hmm. it's fucking great. People need to hear and show that no matter what you go through, you can still be a light for other people, man. And I've said that before, you're going to be a voice for other people to help change their life and speak to other people. And it's, people handle things differently. Like mm-hmm. I say, man, when bad shit happens to me, man, I go missing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to face it. I can't face it. And for you to handle it the way you have, man, it shows massive strength. But people don't like to see strength
mm-hmm.
because they're all weak. So they want to point fingers and blame
everybody
else.
I've kind of noticed that myself. Like, people tell me I shouldn't be strong, and I don't go out my way to say I'm going to be this big strong person, because there is obviously there's times where I'm myself and I do sit and cry and I do miss my wee girl, and she was my best pal. Like, there's nobody ever could take Paige's place, and it's just hard for see to read people saying, oh, like she's managed to get over her. She had another baby. I did have another baby, but I was always having another baby. Like, I've got a big family. I'm not going to put that in hold. I've still got the same rights as everybody else. Why should I not have a baby if I want one? I just need to replace her.
I just can't understand people's mindsets. What gives anybody the fucking right to point fingers and try to look into everybody else's lives?
I know.
Do you know what I mean? It's these people, and I'm saying this, man, you use people are the biggest fucking shite bags and cowards out there.
They comment in everybody's uh-huh. stories. It's not just like one about Paige. Like, I've learned the names. I'm like, there's that one at it again, that one at it again. And it just must be their daily routine. They go through the papers and just give everybody hell.
Mm-hmm. So if you're watching, fuckers, come see me. Because I know, and we were speaking earlier and you were saying that Paige got a lot of abuse and that at school, mm-hmm. bullied and stuff as well uh-huh. through her school. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. That must have been tough as well.
Paige was small, so she was an easy target. Like, she was everybody's best pal, but at the same time, people had something to say about her, and she was just so quiet. Like, she did stand up for herself. Like, I just kept saying, Paige, if something happens to you, if one of them go to hit you, you don't stand a chance. And you'd get her to try and stand up for herself, but I just went kind of a bit like a crazy mummy at times.
But it's as you do.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? It's your baby, man. It's, I can't imagine what you've went through, man. Like, I keep saying it, man, you've got nothing but strength, man. And
like, I wouldn't want anybody to ever go through what we've been through. It's losing Paige, burying Paige, identifying Paige.
Did you have to go and view the body?
We identify Paige, I had to do it with a screen. It was, they put a screen on you. When I identified her, I didn't see the extent of her injuries, because they kind of tilted her head to the side, just to kind of, because her injuries were all one-sided, just in the left-hand side there. Her face and head and neck, so they tilted her, but she just looked dead peaceful. She looked as if she just stepped out the shower.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying to them, you don't need to draw her eyebrows in, and everybody's like, you can't think about her eyebrows, but I'm like, she'll be raging.
Mm-hmm.
But and I kept saying it for days, I'm like, have you fixed her eyebrows? Have you fixed her? And they're like, don't worry about her eyebrows. And even I thought I was going to have an open coffin, never got one, and I'm like, she needs to get her eyebrows done for the open coffin. And they're like, is that all you're worrying about? I said, because she'll be worrying about them. Mm-hmm. Can I think?
She'll have her eyebrows.
They were a mess at times, but she wouldn't go out the door without her eyebrows. She plucked them into a wee tiny thin line. Mm-hmm. And we used to say, you can't do that. But she didn't care. She drew them in, like, pure thick. And when I look back at pictures now, I think they're not as bad as I used to say to her, like, mm-hmm. in the pictures. But at the time, I'd be like, you're not going out the door like that.
What made you, for the Hilton, so what's the date, the 14th?
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing a comedy gig here as well, so tune in. Where can we get the tickets?
PagesPromiseUK@yahoo.com.
Good. What's the capacity? We've got 400, 500?
The Hilton can hold up to like 650, but that's kind of a lot. So we're past the 350 stage, so.
So there's still tickets left, man, for anybody listening, watching, man. Get the tickets, but it's going to be a good night. We've got Susan Maguire, bit of Xander Nation.
George Bowie.
Mm-hmm. Lovely guys, man.
You?
Me? I was waiting for that one.
Jane Henderson singing.
I know Jane, she's a great singer. She sang at my dad's funeral.
Oh, did she?
Aye.
It was, it's Mac Events that actually put us on to her and said she was great, so...
She's some singer. So what's your plans for the future? Or have you got any plans? Are you just taking it day by day? Or
just take it a day at a time.
Take it as it is.
I'm strong just now and I'm getting through the day now. I don't know what I'm going to be like this time next year or the year after, so I just live by the day.
Do you think you're still bottling a lot of stuff up?
I don't know. I'm not good with...
feelings.
Uh-huh. I'm not good, like...
You just greet yourself and nobody's there, you... See, I was like, I'm an open book now, my old days greet.
I get embarrassed?
I don't know, I'm off. I greet all the time.
I don't like to in front of people, like even like my sisters and that they'd say to me, you're right, and I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And that's it, like.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever speak to anybody, psychologists, doctors?
No.
Did they never put anybody on you?
No, they said, don't get me wrong, see when they came and they said there's been a body found, the first thing they offer you is Valium. Do you need any Valium? You're like,
just numbs your pain?
No, I don't, I'm fine, I've got my family, but I think that's just to try and get you to kind of go for a sleep and things like that. But I was like, no, I'm fine, and I managed to go and get a sleep and eat, and I was telling myself I needed to, but as I say, I've got a great support run about me, and if I did need to speak, which I generally don't, I'd have people to speak to. I would not like to speak to a professional counsellor person. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not for me.
They dig too much, man. I think I still need to go and speak to somebody, but I'm too scared, man, for them to dig.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because I portray myself as happy and loud and daft, but again, that's just a wee act to smother everything. Do you know what I mean?
And I suppose I put a smile on my face every day. It doesn't mean I'm happy. I just do it for it needs to be done.
Because you were saying you were in the town, you were out for a drink and somebody was trying to video you.
Mm-hmm.
What are they trying to video you for?
I don't know, maybe to see me drunk or whatever. Mm-hmm. People think that
sell the paper.
Well, I wouldn't have thought that papers would be interested in like that, but the papers seem to be interested in everything. Like me falling pregnant, I'm like, that's really no news. Like there is things happening in the world that should be in the news, but no me being pregnant or me being out having a drink or me arguing with somebody, it's like...
That's what they want to see, but they want to see you arguing.
It's the gossip, they want to see the dramas and stuff.
That's what sells, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The people want to see people falling flat on their face, no matter their stories or what. There's no sympathy with some people. There's no... They don't give a fuck.
No, they definitely don't.
The reason why is because their lives are miserable. They want everybody else's miserable. People want to see you miserable. People want to see you depressed. People want to see you lying down, fighting and pissing all the streets. Do you know what I mean? That's what they want to see because it makes them feel good about their life.
I just think if I'd done that, I'd embarrass my kids for a start. I'd embarrass Paige. She'd be absolutely mortified. And I just wouldn't do it myself. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't even give anybody the papers of satisfaction. And I refuse to let Paige's death dictate her life. So... Mm-hmm. I'm not getting people what they like.
And I think that's a great way to look at things, man. Because I know it was the 2-year anniversary on Monday you were away for. Was it 5 days?
Uh-huh.
What, Centre Parts?
Centre Parts.
Where is that?
Penrith.
Scotland?
I don't know. Is that Scotland? No, it's
where
England.
Where is Penrith? England?
Is it Cumbria?
Cumbria.
No, I think so.
Is it good?
We go, well, the year before Paige died was the first year we went. We booked it for the May. And Paige's mate were coming, but obviously she died in the March. So we still went and took the kids. We thought it gets the same kind of time out and people wouldn't recognise us. People did, but down there, Centre Parts is kind of like a dead outdoorsy.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, nobody bothers you. Like,
how's the kids been?
Obviously, I've got a baby. She doesn't know. Lucas doesn't know either. He's 2. Peyton was 4 and... Everybody's like, yeah, tell her what happened. And I was kind of, well, I can, but I listened to everybody and I never, I told her that she fell and bumped her head and she went into nursery and came back and said, Mum, you're a liar. You told me Paige bumped her head. She was stabbed. I'm like, who told you that? She's like, oh, my friend in nursery knows. She says she was stabbed on her doorstep. And I'm like, no.
What age are you 4?
At 4 in nursery. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, right, well, I never lied to you. I says, I didn't want to scare you. And I said to her, a madman did hurt her. He's a way to prison, and it, does that worry you? And she's like, no, that's fine, as long as I know him. Because we didn't tell her Paige died until after we buried her. So that was a month. Paige died in the March. We didn't bury Paige till the 20th of April. So she didn't know where Paige was. She didn't know anything had happened to her. We actually took her up to Paige's grave and said, this is where Paige stays now. And she's all confused. She's like, under the ground? Like, what do you mean? And so she dealt with it great. Like, she asked you a lot. Like, can I see a picture of the murderer? Like, she'll talk about the murderer all the time. And she'll be like, oh, he sells the rolls and stuff like that. But she's kind of like me, faces it kind of head on. She's no, she doesn't cry much. My wee boy, he's older. So he was 10, he's 12 now. He took it quite bad, but he dealt with it great. He dealt with it really good. I thought it would have broke him. But then I think because we all held it together, it held him together, because they copy you, didn't they? Like, if I was lying in my bed, he'd be lying next to me. So the fact that I was getting up and my husband was getting up and we were getting out every day and make sure the kids were doing stuff, getting to school, because I didn't let them have time off school. I made sure they still went to their school, and if they were having a bad day and wanted to come home, that was fine. But I just thought, just keep their routine. But my wee boy, he misses his sister. They'd done everything. She was like a second mum to him.
How's other people at schools and that been with the kids?
Brilliant.
Have they?
Really, really good, uh-huh. Andrew, like, they were sending him cards, and the school kind of shut down for a day or whatever, and they were just done, like, fun things. They did the school work and stuff like that, and they were really, really good with him. Mm. They struggled. Andrew's school struggled because they've never dealt with anything like that before, so they didn't know how to. But they dealt with it best they could.
Because another thing I want to clear up, because the papers were writing that there was a relationship and blah, 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 but he's that guy and Paige, and obviously you clarified that it was
no.
Or that, do you know what I mean?
The papers had wrote that. I mean, even, like, people running about us were saying, oh, I heard she was seeing him, and I'm like, well, see, if you heard she was seeing him, why did you not tell me, like, before he killed her? Like, surely God, you would have said, should that be lassie seen that guy in the daily, telling mum, because everybody around about White Crook obviously know each other. It's like any kind of wee scheme.
Small place. But it was no emails, no texts.
No emails, no texts.
There was nothing to confirm that there'd been any communication.
The police had to investigate it because they look for reason, really. And they had to kind of look through emails, any social media, any irregularity around about the shop and stuff. And she was always just in and out. She got a roll every morning and went to work. So there was as if she hung about there trying to get a hold of him, and they said there was nothing to suggest otherwise.
And the papers never printed that?
No. They just print what
sells.
Mm-hmm.
What sells, aye. So
there was loads. It was like, Paige is pregnant, and I'm like, she said, had a post-mortem, I think we would know she was pregnant.
Did you just get all that sorted?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you went to a spiritualist.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go? Was it in Glasgow again? Or
I've been to a couple. I've been to quite a few. But when I was down in England, and we seen, I don't even know her name. Sharon, I think it's Sharon. But
Sharon for England.
Sharon, and she was great. Like, I didn't go actually to see her. It was a floor show, and she kept coming up to me saying there's something. She kept giving me the cards and taking the cards back, and then giving them and taking them back, and eventually she asked me to stay behind, and she said, I don't know why. She says, but I just need to see you, and she told me loads. But she told me about Paige being wrapped in bin bags and in the boot of a car, and I didn't hear this for the police. But at that point, I thought, she's havering. I'd have known if that had happened. The police surely would have told me. I didn't realise they weren't allowed, because obviously court and things. But when it came up to court, like, I seen the CCTV. Like, actually, I seen him carrying Paige in the black bags. That wasn't released, obviously, the public, but I seen that myself. And she told me about her foot hanging, because Paige's foot was hanging out the black bags, and she told me everything. So I keep saying I'm going to go back and get a full proper reading with her.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I don't really know what to say to that. Again, man, I just think you're a big fucking bundle of strength, man. When I try to speak to you, try to help you, you're actually fucking helping me, man, with your positivity and your, the way you can handle these situations, man. And for anybody listening that's kind of going through that stuff, man, what would you say? What advice would you give them?
Just face everything head on. Don't don't bottle it all up. But obviously, I don't talk about feelings and stuff like that. But I did face everything. I was just like, no, I need to know the worst. The worst. Once you know the worst, can it get any worse? So I always wanted to never do, like, my family used to struggle with the fact that I'd want to know these things, but I just think it's my wee girl and I need to know what she's been through, what's happened, and if you're able to listen to the bad stuff, then it helps you.
Do you forgive him?
No.
Hatred still?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I'll never forgive him.
You'll never get away with it?
No. He's, like, he's never even tried to apologise or... Like, he was right in front of me in court. He could have made eye contact. He was just, there was no remorse at all. Like,
that's a sign of a coward.
None at all.
That's a sign of a fucking coward.
I know. And it would have been so easy for me to try and jump at him. And I thought, I'm not even getting him the satisfaction of that because it would be in the papers again. And
did it cross your mind?
There was a lot of police presence. The full courtroom had police run everybody, because we had a full courtroom, like, with family, and I've never seen that. That's the only time I've been in a courtroom, but people that were there that's been in courtrooms before have said they've never seen that amount of police presence. It was...
To protect him?
In case there was a lot of men there, and men wanted to protect...
Their family,
but...
Emotions are high, and if the police were wondering, there's a good chance... Mm-hmm. It would have got jumped out, like I say.
I did warn everybody. I was like, he's better know Embarrassed Page.
Respectable.
I just kept thinking, no, Embarrassed Page wouldn't want you to do it. You will get into trouble. And then we look like the badgins, so don't do it. Although it did cross
your mind.
Me and my husband actually say to each other in the courtroom, how easy would it be to jump there? Oh. But we're like, don't.
How many letters have you wrote to him?
I've wrote a couple, but I've only sent one. I thought about sending one to his lawyer and hopefully he could pass it on, but
nah.
I don't think he would either.
But then, you never know, but I don't think people like that, they don't want to face reality. They're cowards, man.
No.
Fucking idiot scum of the earth. But I think how brave you are, man. I've never seen somebody so fucking brave. Honestly, man. And it's hard to describe, man. And people, I'm glad that people can see how, for what you've been through, man, and to show that courage and strength and to be a mother, to lead your other four kids, because it's easy to hit the drinker and then your other kids will follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to use that strength and channel that, because I've said it before, where your focus goes, energy flows, you're trying to focus it into positive stuff and help other people. And it's not only going to benefit yourself, but your kids as well, they'll see is strength. Obviously, mm-hmm. you're going to have bad days. There's always going to be bad shit, bad thoughts every single day, man. But the way you're dealing with it, man, I've never seen anybody as strong as you, man. So you should be fucking proud of what you've been through, man. And I've got nothing but respect for you. And for people watching this, man, they'll feel the exact same. So they will. And I think the way the papers have betrayed you, I think it's wrong. Especially you've been in the papers two or three times this week. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Because, I mean, I get accused of getting paid for all these stories that they print, and I'm like, I've never been paid for anything, like...
Because you've never done a story.
I don't do stories. I've spoke about him getting an appeal and how it's, I think it's wrong, and I think, like, I went on the Kay Adams show to do that kind of thing, but I don't give stories on... I'll never give a story on a page, like, to the papers. I'm just...
Because somebody was writing about, oh, she's been...
Eight holidays.
It wouldn't fucking matter if you've been 59 holidays. I think you deserve it.
I've not been any. I went to Centre Parks and I went to the caravan, and I did take my wee boy to New York in November. And my wee boy's birthday's in March, just before his sister's anniversary. So last March, we surprised, he'd always wanted to go to New York, and so did Paige. And I says, well, me, you and Paige will go together. Obviously never got to take Paige. And I knew in the February he said, I don't want my birthday in March. I don't want to have a birthday this year. And I'm like, I need to do something to kind of cheer him up. So we booked him in New York and I took him in November.
And people are writing
about...
He deserved
that.
Like, it doesn't matter. 9 holidays, 59. So what... Do you know what I mean? What has it got to do with these people to jump the gun and tell you, oh, she's been 8, 9 holidays? Because you put a post up. It was just a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, oh, she's been... Was it nine holidays?
Apparently, I've been nine holidays and I drive an Audi and I don't even drive. I didn't get a license.
But it shouldn't fucking matter what you're driving or how many holidays you're going. I think you deserve it to try and go. If you could go 109 holidays, go for them. Do you know what I mean? This is the shallow people, man. This is what these assholes are all about. They're trying, because they're miserable, they try and bring other people down, because people expect you to be doom and gloom and sad and suicidal. But when they see this, man, do you know what? That'll get up them. But to see that...
Don't get me wrong, if I could afford nine holidays to take my kids, I'd be taking them. Like, I wouldn't be caring what anybody says. Like, I think my kids deserve, and everybody's kids deserve nine holidays a year, exactly, if you can afford it, like, regardless of what they've been through. So I'm not going to, I'll take every chance I can to make memories with my kids, and that's what we focus on now.
And I think, again, man, it's hard, but do you ever see when you wake up in the morning, do you get up all right? Do you struggle? Do you have good days and bad days, obviously?
You have good days and bad days. Going to bed at night's harder than getting up.
You think you overthink?
At night time when you're lying in your bed, that's when you think, I'll say, oh God, what was that noise? That's like in my bed. And obviously you overthink things like that. You're like, I wonder if that's Paige. And you'll feel like your bed cover move and you're like, God, that's Paige, don't open your eyes.
But you will, you do. You want that feeling, you'll hear a song, you'll connect to that song, that's them giving me a sign. You'll see a feather, you'll see a wee robin, or you go, that's them. That's what makes you get through the day to remember that they're still running about you. You want that thought, you don't want to think.
Signs,
they're away, because I think that's you kind of facing reality that they're gone. Because I do it, the amount of people I've lost, I will say, oh, that's him, that song's for me. And it makes me feel good. It makes me greet. Like I say, if you ever see me greeting in a show or whatever, I've heard a song that reminds me of something. We don't want to let go. Do you know what I mean? We don't want to let go. No. So we're always hanging on to that something. Well, but people say, like I've said it earlier, people say times are hell, it is to an extent, but you kind of just get used to it. You get used to the pain, they kind of move on, but the pain's always still going to be there.
It's always going to be there. As I say, you need to adapt everything. Your life changes completely. You lose it. I've lost my mum. Like, I lost my mum when I was 20, and it's nothing compared to losing your daughter. Like, it doesn't matter how I lost Paige, I still lost somebody that I carried for 9 months and gave birth to. It's one of the worst things any parent could go through. And I know that I'm taking away from losing my mum, because that was horrific. I was young and it was horrible, but doesn't come close to the feeling of losing your daughter.
That's the circumstances, obviously, waiting. You can't really, unless you've been through what you've been through, you can't really judge. Because other people I've lost, they were all older, and it was never my kid. Do you know what I mean? And that's one of the worst, is to obviously bury your kid before you. Do you know what I mean? Which is always going to play a big part. Do you think you're more, with your other four kids, are you more protective? Are you trying not to be?
Aye. So when Paige died, I'm like, right, you're never allowed in a shop again yourselves. And then I thought, I can't do that to them. I can't wrap them in cotton wool. I can't take away their childhood because somebody took away their sister. So I had to let them.
To smother them.
I could have easily just kept them in and not let them at the door, but I thought, I can't, it's no fair. And my wee boy came in one day and he's like, can I go swimming? I'm like, aye, okay. And everybody's looking at me as if to say, you sure? And I'm like, let them go, just let them go. But it was like the longest
thing.
I was like, oh, where is he? And every time he was out, I was just constantly, oh, where are you? And if he didn't answer his phone, but I try not to panic. I wouldn't let him know that I was worried. I'd just be like, never try to phone you. So that he thought, oh, she wasn't worried about me, because I don't like him to think that I'm worried. The other ones are too young to go out themselves. So it's him. He's at that age now that he's wanting to stuff his pal. He was wanting to get into, he's 12 and he's like, can I get into 10? I'm like, nope. I'm not even changing my mind on that, but I would have liked Paige. Paige was a lot older in the head. So her and her pals getting in 12, 13 into town, you wouldn't have thought you'd have needed to worry. And I did. Paige used to say, I'm just at the four corners, and I'd be like, get away from there. What are you doing at the four corners? You're not allowed to hang about there. And Paige didn't hang about. She did go and drink in the street. She did try drinking. I've never caught her drinking, but she told me, oh, I tried Orange Mad Dog I done this. But she'd never come into my house drunk, but... I used to say, you don't know the dangers of everything. And I was talking rubbish, really, because it happened under our noses. kind of happened anywhere. Like, you think, oh, don't go into town at night, it's dark, it's, don't come home in a bus yourself, you're in danger. You're really not.
That's what I'm saying. You can, no matter how well you raise your kids, you just, and you never know what's around the corner.
No.
I know we did the, done a screening for a homeless documentary on Sunday, and people said they're scared to approach homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
But I says, man, it's just an appearance. Do you know what I mean? Anybody can do anything, whether they've got a fucking suit on or whether they've got barely any clothes lying on the ground. Do you know what I mean? It's just, we're kind of wary of everything, and I kind of get that, but it's difficult because you can put the barriers up. What do you do? Do you lock yourself in the house? Do you not come out? Do you know what I mean?
I know.
It's a difficult situation, especially for yourself. So, but the way you're dealing with it and the way you're handling it, and I think it's amazing, man. And you should be proud, man. Paige would be proud. In fact, and to come on today and be honest and be open, man, it takes a lot of guts. And you should be proud, man. I'm grateful, man. And how's you feeling?
Fine.
How do you?
I can talk about it.
You can talk, can't you? You can talk more than me, and I talk for Scotland. I just think it's good that you can be opened about it, because these circumstances, people can't be, because they bottle it up, they don't know how to handle it. Do you think there'll be a time, but it'll build up and it can hit you? You think you're, I think you're in a great place, man, mentally, and I think it's good to see. And it, for other people who watch this and who've gone through, I don't think they've been through it. Well, a lot of bad shit happens, you know, like yourself, and I think it gives people hope that you can deal with it. And
you can get, I just think if I can get through this, you can get through anything.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's, things aren't easy, but if you've got the, if you're thinking right, then you can get through most things.
Mm-hmm. I've said it, and I think I've said it probably every podcast, but everything is the mindset. People wake up depressed, they're hurted, they're lonely, but it's causally what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? You can shift what you're thinking, you can channel your energy. If people think what they're thinking, it's simple, and how am I thinking that way, what am I feeling this way? You can change the mindset. I believe it takes 21 days to break a bad habit, but if you keep trying to be positive or try to do something new, because a lot of depression's on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's really on the rise. Well, it's, and everybody,
every certain person you speak to.
Aye, and it's because of the way they're thinking. If you start, too many people from my line are concentrating on the things they've not got instead of the things they have got. And really, I just think, but I think a lot more people are coming open, because my pal Gary Falls, who was in a couple of weeks ago, a comedian, he's been opened up about his depression and stuff, man. And I think once you open up about it, it opens the doors for other people to say, oh, I'm feeling like that. And kind of, it's good to know that you're not alone, man. You're not on the same path, but it's bad, you know, depression.
It's really bad.
It's really, like, bad.
There's a good few people I know that you wouldn't even realise.
Mm-hmm.
That they even suffer from, like, depression or anxiety at all.
You,
like,
look at, is it aunt, deck, aunt?
Aunt.
Again, smile on his face and portraying happy, but he's got prescription, painkillers. You don't drink. And again, the papers put him on a pedestal for 20, 30 years, man, and look at the shit they're doing to him now. This guy needs help, man. This guy's got serious problems. And a smile can go a long way behind, it's in here. Do you know what I mean? We can, everything's great, and I feel sorry for him.
I feel sorry, you know, for him. I mean? I know he's done.
He shouldn't have never been in a car, and even the people are saying he's mad, shouldn't have let him drive. I maybe think that she was there just so she was there. Aye. I don't think, when you've got that mindset, I'm going to do it anyway.
I want to make sure he's safe.
Aye, even because when you're on that path, you do what you want to do, because you're drugged up. Do you know what I mean? So I think she's probably been there just to make sure he was all right, even though she knows it was wrong.
Mm.
I don't think he would have run the motor either way.
Aye.
And he would have. And I think it's a shame that the way they're portraying, and it is wrong, he shouldn't have went in the motor drunk, but...
But he's not going to get away with it, but people are assuming that he's going to get away with it, and he's still going to be in bother for that, but he does need help. Like,
he does.
And that should be what they're concentrating.
But they don't. They want to bring him down, and... But I just think he definitely needs help. And that fake smile, man, it does go a long way, and everybody think, oh, he's fine, man. But really, man, you see the... And it's a shame, man. It doesn't matter.
I know. And I'm saying, like, they should be concentrating that. But then people say to me, the person that killed Paige needs help. And I wouldn't be saying they should be concentrating.
I think drink driving is fucking different from what that dick's
been done. It is, definitely is, but people could say I'm being a bit hypocritical, but I'm not. I think that he does need to help. He's got depression. And
did he ever get
he got
reports for doctors?
They drafted in like the top psychologists for London and everything, like, because he did go down the mental health
psychotic
route. Because we had a court date set, and then it got cancelled, and then they said they wanted to do more psychological reports, and it came back nothing.
Did he try to do that to get his sentence reduced? Mm-hmm. He's obviously not
because if they could have said he had a mental health issue, that could have got dropped to culpable homicide.
Fucking hell.
And I just think, no, I seen Paige, like, there's no culpable homicides, like, accidental, and
a fight.
She had a hole like the size of your fist. And her neck, like half her neck was gone. Like, that's no an accident. You don't accidentally stab somebody in the region of 500 times with three separate weapons. Like,
is that what it was? Three separate weapons?
Well, they said multiple. And then they said it could have been screwdriver, scissors, knife. So they said it was slashes and defence wounds, but it was a lot worse than that. A lot.
So he tried to play the psychotic kid to get his sentence reduced. So he's obviously not that fucking daft.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And then I think, how can defence lawyers do it? Like, how can a defence lawyer... His defence lawyer, he struggled. I did hate him at the time, but it's his job, and it's a hard job he's had to...
To defend him.
Mm-hmm. And you could see there was times he was struggling to defend him, but you had to do it, kind of thing. And I just thought, well, you don't have to. You could refuse to. Mm-hmm. But he was comparing murders and saying what one was worse and how a shooting's worse than a stabbing. And I thought, it's not just a stabbing, but that's fair enough if she was stabbed once or twice. But, like, it was all for here. It wasn't anywhere, like, on her stomach or anything like that. She had a couple on her arms for obviously defending herself. But apart from that,
there's no excuses for that.
No.
There's no excuses.
If that had got dropped to culpable homicide, that would probably have broke me. Because it could have been out in 8 years. So I'm glad that the Crown done amazing, because they did get top psychologists and things. They did make sure that they had all the proper reports. And so I'm thankful for that.
So that was what was pleading insanity, like psychotic?
I think they were trying to go down that route. He never actually came back with that kind of plea, but... I think at first he was kind of trying to plead not guilty, and then eventually pleaded guilty.
He pleaded guilty to get his sentence reduced?
Well, he had to plead guilty. They had everything on him. They had...
DNA, weapons.
No, they never found. They just going by our wounds, they suggested what weapons it could be. And when I seen her, I seen wee circles, and I'm like, it looked like a cigarette burn. And I was like, that must be like a screwdriver or something, or maybe he has burnt her. But I didn't even think too much of the things. I was too busy concentrating on like her face and her neck. But then when you get to hear things, you take it in, you're like, God, that's... How can you...
It's a monster.
Mm-hmm. And bearing in mind, this all took place in an hour. Like, she walked into that shop and he shut shop for an hour, and then he had the shop open again. And he already had Paige, like, in the booty's car and away.
And back in an hour.
About an hour and a half or something.
Mm-hmm. Fucking hell, man. Mm-hmm.
She was in the shop 10 minutes before the shutters went down, and then I think about an hour, no much longer than that.
And this was on CCTV?
He doctored all his CCTV to have Paige know in that shop. So you seen her for these two shops next door had CCTV, and you seen Paige get into the shop, and the CCTV showed that she never ever came back out the shop. But then the CCTV also picked up him carrying Paige for the... In broad daylight, nearly banged into a young boy, carrying Paige into the booty's car and just put in like a bag of rubbish.
Fucking hell, man.
And I say that should be released. People need to see that. Mm-hmm. I think because people don't know what goes on. Like, at the time, I'm like, why is that not getting released? Like, I get that it's graphic, I get that it's horrific, and I get that it upsets people, but... That should be your choice as a family. Like, people need to realise the dangers that's run about them. Like, you need to be... I don't trust anybody. I'll never trust anybody again. I don't want to live like that, but I can't trust them, fully. I'll trust them to an extent, but there'll be always that wee
But then again, especially what you've been through, how can you trust anybody? Mm-hmm. A guy that works in a fucking shop that you can get your roles and you think everything's fine.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
You don't expect, you don't, and the way it's happened, broad daylight, you just think, if that can happen under people's, like, on a Saturday morning, but it's busy, people are hungover and want to go and buy their roles and things, and you can see in the CCTV, them, he actually stopped and spoke to somebody after he'd obviously killed Paige, when he would, went in to get the black bags, and he had, I think he had blood in his face, and she says, you've got blood in your nose, and he said he had a nosebleed.
Has he ever, has he got convictions before?
No.
First time offender?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they said that's, it's totally out of character, and that's even more worrying, that it's totally out of character, that it took 30-odd years for him to realise that he wanted to kill somebody.
Snapped like that, but a 15-year-old innocent lass is, mm-hmm. there's no excuses for that. There's
no. I mean, she couldn't have defended, even if she was bigger, she wouldn't have stood a chance against him. Like, he wouldn't have took on anybody bigger anyway.
Cowboard. Like,
wouldn't have
used, cowboard, man.
He wouldn't have done it with anybody else, but...
And you, and so he'd no previous convictions, nothing?
No, nothing.
Fucking hell, man.
And a hand in my heart, like, you wouldn't have, speaking to him, you wouldn't have, you would have just thought he was a family man. There was never anything that you thought, I don't want my wee girl to get in that shop. Like, do you know sometimes you walk into a shop and you're like, he's a weirdo? No, nothing.
No signs, nothing.
No, he used to speak all the time. And
because usually you can get vibes, usually you can kind mm-hmm. of, and I'm looking not back now, judging people, but...
Looking back now, like, there's things that he said to me that I wouldn't even have, like, because everybody always says to me, Paige is a great wee girl, about her getting up and going to her work every Saturday, we're out at Kirkay in two buses, and I never thought it now, but now I'm kind of like, oh, maybe...
Might have been besotted with her.
I was like, does he maybe... Because he did talk about her a lot, but so does so most people.
I know, but you're being nice, do you know what I mean? Or your Wednesday and well or whatever, you don't think are the circumstances.
No,
that,
I mean, I spoke to him on the Sunday after he killed Paige. Like, I went into the daily.
So you spoke to him after it?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking.
He wasn't face to face, it was on the phone. Mm-hmm. And it was like, at first he was kidding on, he didn't know who I was. And I did, again, I just thought, he's meant to people getting at that shop, he's not going to realise. And then eventually, like, oh, she came in, she bought a roll and she left. You go for a bus to go to work. And I said, right, so she's made it out of the deli. So we assumed that she made it out of the deli. Nothing made us think.
So he's not gave any signs that he's acting funny.
He actually said on the phone, tell, because I never spoke to him, the woman that was in the shop was on the phone to him. And he's like, tell her if she wants to nip round to the house later. And I'll let her know everything I know. And I'm like, I don't even know where he stays. Why would I want to go to his house? And now I said to my husband no long ago, I says, maybe he was going to, maybe so I was kind of realising that he's done something, he was going to...
Did he say it to you?
If I had, because normally I would have went, but I was like, I've got no reason to go, but if I'd have went around, then you just don't know.
That's, I've no words to describe, there's not many times I'm stuck for words, man, and there's definitely something fucked up with that guy. Do you know what I mean? There's definitely something I missed mm-hmm. there to speak to you after he did that and pretend
he's
everything's
shook
right.
My father-in-law's hand as well. And I bet you find her.
And for your father-in-law, I bet you he's devastated
mm-hmm.
at that because you're thinking,
I know,
bastard.
I know. And we were, when we were all waiting in the police, we were going to order rolls at the deli to get them delivered for everybody that was in our house. And we're like, thank God, because he'd have took our money, no bother. So he would have, he was just acting so normal. Like, the police said to me, they related it to Ian Huntley.
Uh-huh.
Like, he went about his normal business and just spoke to the family and was... Because he spoke to the papers when Paige went missing. He also gave an interview to the papers and or the news or whatever, saying, I've got a wee girl as well and I'd hate to think that anything's happened to my wee girl. And
fucking psycho, man. That's grim, man. And, but for coming on today and speaking the way you were and telling your story, man, I've got nothing but respect for you, and like I say, man, you're a big bundle of joy and light, and for anybody else watching, man, they'll see that, and for the charity, Paige's charitable, I think, get the tickets paid, give her the birthday that she deserves, and
definitely.
Like I say, man, I've got nothing but respect for you if you're coming on today, and I think people need to see how strong you are and what you've went through, man, because what you've went through is unbelievable, so it is, and again, man, I've nothing but respect for you, and honestly, we'll be friends for a very long time, man, and I'll probably be coming to you for advice. Do you know what I mean? But thanks for coming on, man, and God bless you, my dear.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Podcast Network.